I don't know, maybe you were here last time when I was able to share with you before, and we talked about hope and who we can place our hope in. And I know, just like you, I turned on the television this week, I see news and I see things going on in this world, and it's easy to look around and feel hopeless. We see poverty and war, and we see the state of the economy, we see the things going on with, you know, maybe it's North Korea, maybe it's Russia, whatever it is, and we can easily become fearful. We can easily become hopeless, feel hopeless. Maybe you feel stuck in a marriage. That's something else. We can feel stuck in these social situations that we find ourselves in, and we feel very helpless, very hopeless, very anxious, and very terrified. So we begin to fervently look for someone or something to place our hope in. And last time, I think we discussed this, we find that we place our hope in Jesus Christ. We place our hope in someone who is forever, someone who is capable of bringing us ultimate security, of bringing us that fulfillment. Because we all know that politicians lie, right? We all know that leadership will fail. We all know that pastors don't live forever, and some will fail you too. We need to place our hope in someone special, someone who is stable, in that perfect king who is the perfect leader. And it's not me. It's not Pastor John. It's not Stan. It's none. He's here, though, isn't he? King Jesus. He's the one that we place our hope in. And Isaiah chapter 11, it tells us more and more about this perfect leader. Remember last time we were there, we looked and we saw that shoot from the stump of Jesse, from that line of David, a kingdom that had just been cut down in righteous judgment because they turned their back on a holy God. They turned their back on this wonderful, loving God who created everything. And we say, my goodness, how could they possibly do that? Until we sort of start looking at our own lives and remember we have the tendency to do the same. We saw that this shoot of Jesse, this Jesus Christ, this perfect leader, the one that we've been searching for and longing for, the very Spirit of the Lord rests upon him. Jesus is empowered, he's informed, he is equipped by the Holy Spirit, and it makes this possible for this Jesus to be that perfect king, to do what mere mortals cannot do, and to give you hope for an eternal life, one that's coming, and even hope for today. I warned you not to place your hope in fallible or finite men or sinful men. Well, Jesus Christ, he is infallible. Jesus Christ, he is infinite. He is sinless. The perfect king, the perfect judge, that perfect leader that each one of us here, we need to be ushered into his perfect kingdom. So what does that kingdom look like? So open up again to the book of Isaiah chapter 11 and we'll see what this perfect kingdom looks like. And let me tell you, I think it's going to be a place that you and I are going to enjoy a whole lot. Isaiah chapter 11 verses 6 through 10. Remember, this is God's word. I'm going to be reading God's very word today. Every bit of it true. Every bit of it for us. And we can see who we can place our hope in. And now we can see who gives us peace. Who will give us peace in the future, who gives us peace today. So Isaiah chapter 11, verses 6 through 10. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat. The calf and the lion and the fattened calf together. And a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together. The lion shall eat straw like the fox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy on my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for his people, for the peoples, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. Pray with me, please. Father, we thank you so much for this image of what this perfect kingdom will look like. Lord, I thank you that all of these animals will be frolicking and living together. But Lord, there's so much more to this text than just that. Father, help us to look with anticipation that, God, you are good. You bring us peace. And Lord, help us to look for that peace even now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, I read some of these verses. This new kingdom sounds like a pretty neat place to live, I think. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat. The calf and the lion. Okay, these are predator and prey. Predator and prey living together in harmony. And that sounds pretty amazing. Later on it says that the bear and the cow shall graze. I mean, they're grazing together. They're eating next to one another. It says that the lion and the ox are eating straw together. And it's just amazing. They're eating together. They're living together. You even see this little baby playing with a cobra. How many babies have you seen playing with cobras? Not many. But here in this perfect kingdom, we see that something drastically has changed. Look, I want to show you a picture here. This picture is a painting, if you can see it. It's called The Peaceable Kingdom, and it's a painting by a man named Edward Hicks. It's his vision of what Isaiah 11, chapter 11, verses 6 through 10 looks like. And it's amazing. You see the ox and the lion standing together. You see the child leading the animals, the lion and the leopard and the goat. The cow's down here. The babies are over here, and they're all sorted together, the wolf and the lamb, friends. What in the world has happened? What happened that makes this image possible? What happened that makes the words that we just read in Isaiah possible? Again, it has to do with the shoot of Jesse. It has to do with the leadership of the perfect King, Jesus Christ. See, the predatory instincts of these animals, you see them up there, the lion, the leopard, the bear, the wolf, all of those predators up there, they have been fundamentally changed. The instincts to devour those weaker animals are totally gone. And yet you see that the fear factor is totally gone in the other. The children are having a great time with that bear and with the lion and even with that big old ox there. I've seen kids around ox, big animals, they get scared. But look at how wonderfully they're playing together. The lamb is there cuddling with the wolf. Their fear is gone. They're no longer timid. They're no longer afraid. Predator, prey, they've been reconciled. Not only in this photo, but in Isaiah, the words that we just read, predator and prey have been reconciled. No longer do the predator seek to kill the prey. No longer does the prey run and hide from the predator. They coexist. And we see this clearly in verse 6. Verse 6, it says, the wolf shall dwell with the lamb. Now, this is a little bit more than just kind of stand next to. In Hebrew, this word is more like me inviting you to my home for an extended visit. This is the wolf saying to the lamb, hey, come on over to my place. Let's hang out. We'll watch the game. You leave whenever you want. Just stay here. You're welcome anytime. And guess what? The lamb says, sure thing. I'll bring the dip. Right? This is the wolf and the lamb dwelling together. Two parties who could never be together in our present reality. My father-in-law has sheep in his backyard, and he is always looking out for coyotes. Why? Not because he doesn't want the coyotes coming and hanging out with the sheep. Because he knows the coyotes are coming to eat the sheep, to destroy his flock, to destroy and to kill. That's the reality of this world. But Isaiah, we're told that this is all going to change. The kingdom that's coming, Jesus Christ rules it perfectly, and reconciliation happens, a change, the way the animals' instincts work. They've been removed, and now they can live at peace with one another. Isaiah, he's showing us this new world where these instincts are removed. He shows that change happens even on a more fundamental level, on a deeper level. It says that the cow and the bear shall graze. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. Now listen, I know that lions like to eat meat. I've seen the nature show. I've seen the documentary. I've seen them eating gazelles, and you have too. But here it says even their diets are changed fundamentally. They're together, a brand new diet, a brand new way of life. In verse 7, we even see that the young of these animals, it says this, in verse 7, the cow and the bear shall graze. It says their young shall lie down together. Listen, this is more than just the change of hearts of the adults. This is a generational change. This change is handed down generation to generation to generation. Now, the wolf, the grown-up, the daddy wolf, can sit next to the mama lamb, but guess what? Their babies are getting along too. This is a fundamental change. All hostility is gone forever. In short, the curse of the fall is absolutely gone. Jesus Christ, our perfect leader, our perfect king who establishes his kingdom, will reconcile the animal kingdom. Will reconcile these enemies together so that they can enjoy themselves. Just like that picture that I showed you, the wolf and the lamb lying together and all of that. This is what our perfect king does. This is the peace that he brings in. And guess what? He even will do this amongst friends and family and, dare I say, even enemies. Where God is busy reconciling man. I want you to turn somewhere with me, please. It's the book of Genesis. Anybody know where the book of Genesis is? It's the first book of the Bible, right? Old Testament, very easy to find. So just kind of flip open to the very beginning of your Bible and look at Genesis chapter 3 with me. Particularly one verse. And I want you to just hone in on it. I want you to look at it. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Now this verse is immediately after the fall. And now this is God pronouncing his curse. This is part of the curse. He says this, I will put enmity between you and the woman. He's talking to the serpent. And between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. Now listen, this what you're seeing right here is a foreshadowing to Jesus Christ. This is the first mention of Jesus Christ that we see very explicitly in Scripture. But it says something even more, that at the fall of man, was also the fall of creation. And what you're seeing there is man and the animal kingdom put at odds. This is what you're seeing here. Is there anybody out there afraid of snakes? A few of you maybe, right? Do you know why? Because Adam and Eve sinned, okay? That's why there is enmity between you and the adder or the snake or the cobra or whatever. That's why you're afraid when you're approached by a bear in the wilderness. Because of sin. Sin has messed this planet up so much that even the animals hate you. And you hate the animals. Now we see that this coming kingdom, this coming God is going to do something about this. This coming kingdom, this coming king, I should say, is something's going to happen. And then we look back at verse 11. You turn back to chapter 11 of Isaiah, to verse 8, and this is what it says. Now, let's read this in light of what we just read in Genesis. The nursing child shall pray. Let me start over. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. That sounds really different. Really different than Genesis chapter 3, what we just read, doesn't it? Now, scholars, they want to figure out what kind of snake this adder is. They talk about it. They want to, is it a cobra? What are they? Is it a really poisonous snake? Is it a super poisonous snake? What is it? But listen, that is not the point. The point is not to figure out what kind of snake this is. The issue is look at what they're doing. What has happened between the seed of the woman, the baby, and the seed of the serpent, the asp, or the adder, or the cobra. Reconciliation. The curse, as a result of the fall, has been totally eliminated. natural born enemies now love one another and play near and with one another. So in this new kingdom, under the perfect leadership of Jesus Christ, we see that little children will play with snakes. Those of you who are afraid of snakes will no longer be afraid of snakes. There's been reconciliation between the seed of man and the seed of the serpent. The curse on man has been lifted. This is what Jesus Christ does. No more curse. No more hatred. No more fear. No longer do you have to shudder at the sight of a creepy snake, right? Verse 9 goes on to say this, "And they shall not hurt or destroy in all of my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Now, who is the they that they're talking about here? If I remember my English correctly, well, this, again, this works in foreign languages too, because this was not originally written in English, just in case you were curious. But you look at that word they, and then you look at the closest thing to it, and guess what it is? It's a snake. "They, the serpent, shall not hurt, they shall not destroy in my holy mountain. No more will the serpent destroy, no longer will his minions." Guess what? Now we can broaden this. We say Satan has no power anymore. He has no power on God's holy mountain. No longer will he seek and to destroy you, to devour you. You are safe, you are secure, you have been reconciled, and you are full of hope, full of peace and joy and happiness on this holy mountain. A kingdom is where you want to be. That peaceable kingdom is there and is available for you in the future. You know, the limp that you have, your poor eyesight, that sickness that you have, it's a result of the fall. My baldness is a result of the fall, I think. That's what I'm claiming. All of these things that we go out there, you toil and work the land. Why is it so hard? Why do weeds come up? Because of the fall of man. Why does it hurt to give birth to wonderful, lovely babies? Because of the fall. All of that gone forever. This is what we're promised in the new kingdom. This is what we're promised through Jesus Christ. All of these terrible, horrible things and all these not nice things that are a result of the curse gone forever because of the perfect kingdom that we are led into by the perfect King, Jesus Christ. And that's why most of us can rejoice with Malachi when he says, "But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing on its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall." Does that bring some kind of excitement to you? That some of you, there's a lot of you that I'm sure cannot leap like calves right now. But you're promised that you will. You're promised that you will in this peaceful kingdom, this wonderful, perfect kingdom, if you are led in by this wonderful, perfect King, Savior Jesus Christ. What joy, what peace, when all of that hostility will be gone. Perfect, peaceable kingdom. You say, Shannon, and I echo this because I hear messages like this and I think the same thing. Well, Shannon, you know, you promise about this peace in the future, but you know what? I'd kind of like peace now. I'm sick and tired of cancer taking my friends, or I'm sick and tired of not knowing how I'm going to pay the next bill, or I'm sick and tired of this or that or this or whatever. Sick and tired of all of that person at church that just goads me and just gets me all the time. We're speaking figuratively here, okay? This is what we're doing. I'm here to tell you today that this peaceable kingdom that we read about in Isaiah 11, I know that it will one day be fulfilled perfectly, and we will have children playing with snakes and all of these wonderful things, but I'm telling you right now that it has been at least partially fulfilled. Literal fulfillment is coming, but this figurative fulfillment is already here. And I invite you to just look around right now. Look around at your people who are sitting next to you, the people who are behind you. And as you do that, I think I see wolves and lambs dwelling together even here, right now. I see leopards and young goats sitting next to each other. I know I've seen lions and oxen eating together in just among this group of people here. See, when you're saved by Jesus Christ, your nature changes radically. I knew a man once, well, I still know him, and he's a wonderful man. He says, you know, when I was lost, I hated white people. He looked at me and he said, I hated white people. I would have never allowed you into my home. And I thought, wow, this is amazing, because to know him now, he not only loves white people, he loves all kinds of people, gray and purple and whatever. Well, they're purple. He better give them the Heimlich maneuver, I guess. But he loves all kinds of people now. Why? Because Jesus invaded his life and took his nastiness and made him a new creation. Gave him peace with all men. No longer does he have to hate white people. No longer does he have to hate anybody that's different than him, because Jesus Christ invaded this man's life. Men with the most vicious hatred towards one another, when they're encountered by Jesus Christ, they are changed forever. They are made gentle so that they can sit next to the Lamb in church and not bite their heads off. Some of you who have been so timid and scared all of your life are given great courage through Jesus Christ. Because why? Jesus Christ changes you fundamentally. Some women who gossip and hate one another, guess what? They're changed. There's peace in our perfect King Jesus Christ even now. Wolves and sheep can sit next to each other in a Sunday service. And listen, it does feel a bit uncomfortable to sit in a church and admit that one time you were a wolf, or you were a scorpion, or you were a nasty person. But listen, a few verses that have just changed the way I look at things in Titus. I'll read it to you now in Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 7. This is Paul speaking. This is Paul speaking about the type of person that he was. Listen to these words. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of our God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Paul says, I was once a viper. I was looking for people to inject my venom in. I was looking for people to destroy and to actually, in his case, literally murder. But Paul was changed. He was encountered by a holy God. Jesus Christ saved him, took all his venom away. And he was allowed to live at peace, not only with God, but with those whom he once hated. See, when Jesus Christ saves you by the washing and regeneration of the Holy Spirit, your predatory instincts are gone. No longer do you seek after your own good. No longer do you seek the destruction of others. Because I tell you, if it's there, man, if that old nature is there, call out to Christ. You're not getting rid of that nature without him. You're not getting rid of that desire to maim and destroy and inject venom without Jesus. Those of you who are once timid and you want to hide all the time and you say, oh, Shannon, I could never share the gospel with anybody because I'm too scared. Guess what? It's Jesus Christ that we go to change us fundamentally and give us the courage to speak the truth. Why? Because this isn't our words. These are the words of a holy God, given to us so that we might live and we might allow others to live through it as well. So here, in this building today, there are wolves and there are lambs dwelling together. Here in this very building, we have leopards and young goats sitting together. We have bears and cows and lions and oxen all living and worshiping together. Worshiping and glorifying our King Jesus Christ, because He is the one that brings peace. Not our effort to, I got to really pull myself up by the bootstraps and learn to like these people, because my goodness, no, it is Christ that gives the supernatural ability to love one another, even the unlovely. Yeah, listen, I'm not so naive to believe that every person in this room is perfectly aligned with the person of Jesus Christ. I know that we suffer from these fits and spells where our old nature sort of wants to come out and wants to take over. Maybe there is even someone in this building who is not saved, who has said, you know what, I don't even know who this Jesus Christ is, or I don't want to know, or maybe it's all just hogwash anyway. I want to warn you. Isaiah, back in Isaiah, these are the words that I warn you with. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And listen, he shall strike the earth with a rod of his mouth, and with a breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Death awaits those who reject Jesus Christ. Now, that may not be you today. I pray that it's not, but it could be your neighbor or your sister or your aunt or your father, your whatever. Could even be that person at work that you really don't like that much. We need the words of Isaiah 11, 6 through 10. We need to hear them today to know that, yes, there is hope for peace in the future. All of you who are born again, all of us who are born again loving Jesus Christ, there is a future peace promised to us, but there is peace available to us right now. Remember from where you were saved. Listen, even if you were brought up in a church environment all your life, there was a time in your life when you were God's enemy. There was a time in your life when you hated God with the innermost parts of your being, and He was against you. You were slaves to various passions. You were foolish and disobedient. You were passing your days in malice. Everything you did was sin. You could do nothing but sin all day long. And in fact, in another place in Isaiah where we can go to a little later on, but not right now, we actually see that all of those good things, if you were lost, all of those good things that you did were like filthy rags before a holy God. But yet God, in His loving kindness, He changed you. Not because you were so great, not because you deserved any of it. Jesus Christ poured out on you the Holy Spirit, and it even now, I know, richly overflows in many of you. Please, I may serve in some type of role as the evangelist or whatever. That does not mean I'm the only one allowed to do it. When new people come to this church, or when you're out on the street, don't say, boy, I wish Shannon was here to tell him something. Because guess what? The same Jesus Christ resides in you. You have been saved from death and hell. You can say something. You can share that peace with others. You can share that little green shoot from the stump of Jesse, Jesus Christ. Because if you're lost today, you're not just an you're not headed for inconvenience. You're holding a lit stick of dynamite that will one day go off. And just ask the very simple question, if I step off of this planet today, what's next? Will I go to heaven? Will I go to hell? It's a good question to ask. And I'm here to tell you that the only way you will find peace, the only way you will find reconciliation, the only way you will ever hope to play with snakes and eat with wolves and oxen and all those other things that we read about today is through the person of Jesus Christ. If you've not, call out to Him. If you have, rejoice in the fact and point as many people as you can to Him. Let's pray. Father, I just thank You so much for Your words. Thank You for the opportunity that You give me to open them up and to learn from them with everyone else here. Father, I just pray that You would work through this earthen vessel here, Lord, that Your word would capture the hearts and imaginations of each and every one of us here, and that we would go and we would rejoice in the fact that we can live at peace. Not only can we be peaceful people, but we can actually live at peace with those who were once our enemies. Lord, I thank You so much for Your word. I thank You for this opportunity. I thank You for the men and women gathered at Roxbury even right now, Lord. And I pray that they have had a rich time in the word just as we have. So, Lord, I thank You for all of these things, and I praise Your name. In Jesus' holy name, amen.